We are a multinational confectionery company, 90,000 plus employees in over 150 countries around the world. We are makers of some of your favorite brands, whether you know us or not, Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, Triscuits, Ritz crackers, Wheat Thins, Cadbury, Toblerone, all of these amazing and delicious treats we bring to consumers around the world. So it's really been a pretty cool last couple of years having the ability to go and bring talent into this company and to help push forward products that I've enjoyed.
Hello, and welcome to the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and on this show, we interview today's industry leaders in talent acquisition to discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds. If you are working in talent acquisition and have always wanted to sit down with your peers at other companies to exchange ideas and learn, well, this show is the next best thing. Join us each week as we bring you a new expert interview and extract their expertise. This episode is brought to you by SageMark HR. Transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology. Selecting the right recruiting solutions to enable your strategy is one of the biggest challenges leaders face today. You know technology will help, but searching all the options to find out what will work best for your specific needs can be both overwhelming and time-consuming. At SageMark HR, we make selecting the right recruiting technology easy. Our proven process has helped companies such as 3M, Comcast, Stryker, Walgreens, and many more. Reach out to us at SageMark HR for a free consultation to learn how we can help you improve results with less stress and confidently change from reacting to leading.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull. Today, I have a fun conversation with my friend, Mark Rogers. Mark is the Director of Global Executive Talent Acquisition at Mondelez International. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ryan. Good to be here. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you as well. So let's start out. Let's talk a little bit about your background, as we always do. How did you get started in the talent space? What are some roles maybe that you've held leading up to your current role?
Sure. So like most people in talent acquisition, I didn't set out to be a TA leader. I kind of stumbled into it. It was in the military. I would say that was my first real kind of actual job. Spent 4 years in the Navy in a role that I would say was administrative, operationally aligned. And when I got out of the military, the intuitive path was to go into perhaps HR or some kind of operational role. And so I got out, went back to college part-time, and started to fire off resumes and found myself in an administrative role at Wyeth Pharmaceuticals, now Pfizer. And from there, somehow, luckily had an interest in HR. One of my good friends at the time was just finished up college and was in HR and said, man, you would be really great in doing what I do. I took that to heart and several months later applied for an HR coordinator role at Wyeth and landed in an HR coordinator role. It was a broad role aligned to staffing, recruitment support, but then also a bit of sourcing, pre-talent identification and talent and candidate development. It was my first foray into HR and just never intended to land in recruiting, but it just happened that way. Yeah.
Yeah. And then walk us through a little bit your career progression from Wyeth to now at Mondelez. Like I know you've been at several different places with their various different roles. So if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about your background.
Yeah, I've been fortunate, honestly, throughout my career. There's part of it that I was very intentional about the roles that I took and some of the movement, and then others were as a result of organizational transformation. I met at AstraZeneca at the time. I didn't have my own of a Navy pilot, and he looked at my Navy experience and was at least open to a conversation, and we had a very good conversation. I moved into a sourcing specialist role shortly thereafter. And then after that, the next few years were recruiter roles across every function you can think of: sales, commercial, corporate functions, and ultimately college recruiting. And after about 6 or 7 years as a recruiter across all of those functions, I got my first leadership opportunity to globally lead college recruiting at AstraZeneca. And that was a really first step into a global leadership role, hiring several hundred interns and graduates for AstraZeneca globally. So that kind of got me really excited about recruiting from campus. And that was at the time where I thought I wanted to see my career go. And following the role at AstraZeneca, I had the opportunity to move over to Becton Dickinson, also known as BD, and lead college recruiting for BD globally, and also diversity recruitment, which was also a passion of mine, particularly in the context of recruitment of veterans and bringing veterans into the workforce. Was in that role for a few years. And then at this point, I really start to think about owning my career progression thoughtfully about what I need to do to continue to progress to ultimately run talent acquisition one day globally. So at this point, I had several years, probably 2 or 3 years in college recruiting. And as I was looking at options in both internally and externally, one of the things that I've fairly consistently heard is you need to get experience leading a function other than college recruiting, which of course is very different. And through my trusty AstraZeneca network, I landed at Sanofi, another pharmaceutical company based in New Jersey. It was a great opportunity to move into a role that was leading talent acquisition for two very large functions, and then also taking on ownership of an RPO for sales. So that got me a couple years of good hands-on end-to-end recruitment experience, not only for sales roles, but also for roles in the corporate space, which was pretty wide-ranging. And then also got me exposure to RPO, which for the last few years at that point, many companies were pivoting from large in-house teams to RPO models that were more cost-effective and more scalable. It was probably at that point that I started to think, okay, next step, I want to look at moving into RPO, either with the next role or the next two roles. And at that point, when I got the opportunity to move over to do some global recruitment leadership for Bristol Myers Squibb, leading their talent acquisition for research and development, which I had no experience in, it was really also important for me at the time to dip my toe in waters that I'd not had the opportunity to dip my toes in before. R&D was a space that, even as a recruiter, I'd never really touched, and got to do that for about 2 years, almost 2 years, and also get the experience of scaling up multiple R&D sites and growing the R&D function at the time for a company that was in the midst of some pretty significant transformation. And in that time, I also got married. So personally, I had got married at that time. This would have been 2016, actually exactly 2016 in the event that my wife sees this, and started to have grow my family and so forth. And at that point, I really was, after 12 or 14 years in the pharma industry, really felt like I was ready to do something different and have a slightly different experience. And timing was right. I was out on paternity leave with our first son and was approached by an RPO called Hudson RPO, mid-sized recruitment process outsourcing company, about a role leading the RPO at Bausch Health. So they were, at the time, very diverse company, consumer health division, pharma division, to name two of their really prominent divisions. But the opportunity to run an RPO, which I had exposure on the client side, but to do that from inside and run recruiting like a business, focusing on efficiency and performance and so forth, was a great opportunity. I went into that knowing that I wasn't going to have probably a decade-long career in RPO. And after a few years at that, I was like, all right, I think I'm ready to move back in-house and to really feel like I'm part of a team and really directly contributing to the bottom line and talent agenda. And was approached about my last role and my first role at Mondelez International. And it was a role leading the U.S. recruiting team, fairly large team, about 100 plus people, supporting Mondelez's U.S. business unit. And it was hiring from hourly, which we recruit thousands of hourly hires per year, sales, associates, merchandisers, folks in our plants who help manufacture and produce our products, up to senior director level professional hires. So was in that role for 3 years. and really felt like at the time, it was a really tough time for TA. And of course, the last few years for TA, particularly TA leaders, has been a bit challenging through COVID and post-COVID. I felt at the time I was ready to take another chance and do something a bit different, not necessarily move up, but maybe move over and do something a bit different. And through performance planning conversations with my then manager, we were talking through what's next for you. And if think about the things that I've just shared, I've been a recruiter across multiple functions. I've been a coordinator, done sourcing, done college recruiting, done diversity recruiting. There's not a lot left, at least as of today, to do in talent acquisition, but we talked through what made sense, and there was an opportunity and a big need in our executive talent acquisition function for a leader like myself to come in and be part of the team to do end-to-end recruiting for executive talent acquisition. So I moved over to executive last spring, coming up on a year in role. And today I'm part of that small but mighty team that for Mondelez looks after executive hiring for our business. Very different role, which I'm happy to get into some of the differences there. But it's been a heck of a career for sure, and really looking forward to seeing what the future holds for our business and for what we do.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for the detailed kind of background on you've had a really great career with a lot of big brands, a lot of interesting organizations. And I really appreciate the way that you've always been deliberately focused on not only adding value, but also how do you make yourself more valuable and how do you grow and learn as an individual? So that's great. I appreciate you sharing that. Let's jump into the current role a little bit, if you wouldn't mind. Hopefully people know who Mondelez is, but you could maybe share a little bit about Mondelez and a little bit about the scope of your current role in the executive area.
Yeah, I should have probably given an overview of Mondelez, considering when I was approached about my first role with the company, I really didn't know who Mondelez was. I knew Mondelez was a company. I'm based here in New Jersey, so near our U.S. headquarters, so I knew it was a company, but didn't know it was all of these amazing things that, of course, I've discovered and over the last few years. But for those who don't know us, we are a multinational confectionery company, 90,000-plus employees in over 150 countries around the world. We are makers of some of your favorite brands, whether you know us or not, Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, Triscuits, Ritz crackers, Wheat Thins, Cadbury, Toblerone, all of these amazing and delicious treats we bring to consumers around the world. So it's really been a pretty cool last couple of years having the ability to go and bring talent into this company and to help push forward products that I've enjoyed, like many of you, for my entire life. So a bit about my current role. So I, as I said, I'm in executive talent acquisition. We are a small but mighty team, very flat in terms of our structure. I look after, not alone, because we are the size of the kind of team that has to have some flexibility in terms of what we support and who we support. But generally, it's our global functions that I support. And last year, I would say in terms of the volume and what we deliver to our business, we supported over 100 searches last year and expecting for that to grow a bit this year and generated about 6 million plus in cost avoidance for the business in terms of agency spend. Pretty good volume in terms of the work that we do. I think the scope of our roles and the focus of what we're aimed at in 2025 is certainly going to be to continue to support the existing roles within the executive space, but it's also pivoting more so towards proactive talent pipeline and how do we get out in front of our short to mid and long-term talent needs? How do we proactively engage talent in some of the most critical spaces that will drive our business over the next few years?
Yeah, you wouldn't mind to share a little bit. You've been about in the role about a year or so. Over the last year, maybe some initiatives or what the function was like as you arrived compared to now. And then following that, we'll get into like maybe some initiatives as you see it for the future. But let's start with looking backwards. Describe a little bit around how the function was run prior to your arrival or when you did arrive. Maybe some initiatives that you and the team have gone through over the last year or so.
Yeah, it's less than a year. So I wouldn't say that things are significantly different from this time last March, other than continuing to focus on a few things that we feel are going to add value. I spoke to the pipelining initiative, and we really started to, in a more meaningful way, dip our toe in that water last year with some really exciting talent pipelining projects where we've engaged with business leaders, executives around the company to tap into their networks, to get referrals, and to, again, start to proactively build relationships, either for talent for, you know, roles that we have open today, or looking for talent for longer term talent needs. That's where our focus generally is. I would say, as a function, in terms of a bit more insight into how we're set up, we are executive talent acquisition, part of a very mighty people team here at Mondelez that consists of multiple teams, of course, underneath. One being our people leads who sit in our business units and support our various business units around the world, embedded in those businesses. And then our COEs within HR, which is made up of talent, total rewards, capabilities, to name a few. And then we have our people services function, which is where our business unit talent acquisition team sits. And those are the recruiters, leaders, coordinators, sourcers who support the different business units around the world. And they look after recruitment from senior director level and down. So that's university hiring, some professional hiring, and then all of the frontline hiring. We hire thousands and thousands of frontline employees around the world to support some of the functions that I mentioned earlier, manufacturing and merchandising. Great. So as a function, again, executive TA sits in a slightly different shop, and the talent COE and people services is where the business unit TA teams sit. But the things that we've been doing, particularly in the last 2 years, have all been very consistent. And one of them is really focusing on our tech stack. When I joined, we had just implemented Workday. We were probably 4 months post-implementation, and anybody who's done that knows that it takes quite some time for things to take hold and processes and ways of working to get established. We spent my first probably year and a half or 2 years really refining Workday and creating efficiency and refining the process. And then the last 2 or so years have really been about how do we invest in our tech stack. We implemented a chatbot for frontline recruitment in the U.S. That was when I was part of the U.S. team. We implemented a new CRM in Phenom, which is still somewhat new, but proven to be a useful tool for us as we look at, again, proactive talent pipelining and how do we keep talent pipelines fresh and engaged. And then we implemented a onboarding platform to support our onboarding initiatives. It was interesting to see how, especially experience in onboarding here a couple of years ago, there's a lot of information here, like at most large companies, but it was all over the place. And it wasn't exactly the most seamless onboarding experience in some aspects, trying to find information. And we implemented an onboarding platform about a year and a half ago, maybe two now, that helps bring things together, both for the new hire and the hiring manager, in terms of how do you best provide a high quality, consistent onboarding experience for every employee. So it's been a lot, and we do things hand in hand. While I wouldn't say that executive TA exclusively has evolved significantly over the last year or two, I would say TA as a whole, a function, has certainly made some significant strides over the last 2 years or so, particularly with our investment in our tech stack.
Yeah, definitely. And you and I have been in contact quite a bit over the last several years during those transformation formative times and the things. And you've definitely, as an organization, done a lot of great work there. Appreciate you sharing that. Let's talk a little bit about, I'm always interested to learn and hear from organizations on like how Azure performance in TA. So at Mondelez, like whether it's in your group or across broader TA or just high level, like how does Mondelez think about measuring performance in talent acquisition? What are some core metrics, or how does it do that?
Yeah, I would say across TA in general, the time to hire is critical, and it may sound a bit old school when I say time to hire, but when I think about particularly our frontline hiring, how quickly we hire merchandisers and the talent that sits in our plants and our distribution branches, that's critical to our business. So that's something we look at, not necessarily just end to end. And we do have time to hire metrics based on the level of role. with the expectations for timing appropriately set based on level. We also have the ability through our really robust reporting through Power BI to look at the hiring that happens from gate to gate. So it lets us identify where maybe there are bottlenecks in the recruitment process. So that is certainly something that we look, you know, at pretty significantly. I talked a bit about proactivity and talent pipelining, proactive talent pipelining. That is an investment that we, in terms of focus, and is definitely something that we've ramped up over the last few years. We have a number of metrics around our talent pipelines. Every recruiter, every sourcer has a set target of how many pipelines that they need to develop per year, and also conversion rates for those pipelines. So we want to ensure that not only are we thinking about the future and proactively identifying talent for the future, but that we're also doing it in a way that allows us to get some returns. We don't just want to have pipelines that sit there and don't really bring any value. We want to focus on conversion rates. Those are two things. And then I would say for our coordinators, again, the speed, especially for any role, whether it's executive or frontline, but specifically in the frontline space, the speed of hiring in the frontline is critical. If you are delayed by a half a day or a couple hours, that could in our world be the difference between successfully hiring someone or not. And so we have efficiency targets for our coordinators, whether it's with regard to quality of the contracts they produce, or if they're scheduling interviews, how quickly they're getting interviews scheduled. So again, we have dashboards that enable us to monitor that and see where we have spikes in timing for interviews and where we may be taking longer to get interviews scheduled and so forth. So those are some of the things that we look at. For executive TA, we have some exciting things in the exec space. We have a new head of our talent COE who joined us a short time ago. And with her, we're looking at refining some of our success measures for exec TA. But I do think quality of hire is something that we're going to really take a good look at. But the rest of it is certainly, I think, over the next couple months, going to start to take shape.
Great. Great. As you look forward, you've talked a little bit about where you've come from and where you're going and things. Anything else that you'd like to mention that you're particularly excited about or energized about as you look forward?
Yeah, it's something that it's on our objectives for this year. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how it comes together. And that's the approach to an integrated talent function. I think for a lot of companies, the talent COE tends to sometimes be a bit siloed, and TA, I think, often is the victim of that, not having solid planning, not having good insight into talent management and some of the outcomes of strategic workforce planning and all of this. Our goal is to really create a more, you know, well integrated talent function. So that means greater connectivity between our people leads in the business unit, talent, executive talent acquisition, and then the business unit talent acquisition teams, where there's some pretty significant overlap. I think that's going to be, for us as a aspiring company that wants to be talent magnets, the ability to have a well-integrated talent function across those teams with no silos or very limited silos is going to be very important. And we're already starting to make some headway there, not even officially piloting it, just coming together with our people leads and some of our talent management leads around the world to say, let's give it a try. Let's create spaces where we can connect, talk about what's happening, transparently, and let that kind of drive us forward. So that is probably the most exciting thing that we have as a kind of people team on the radar for this year, as far as I'm concerned, and with regard to talent acquisition. And then for executive TA, we're looking at a couple things. We do a good job of creating a white glove experience, whether that be from an end-to-end process standpoint or specifically for executive onboarding. But with that white glove approach, sometimes creates an inconsistent experience for either the hiring manager or the candidate. So from a process standpoint, onboarding, we're going to look at this year, how do we create a process that is consistent for everyone, no matter where you're hiring in the world, of course, allowing for some flexibility where it's needed as appropriate.
Great. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, exciting times for sure. The last question I would have for you is, what's some advice that you would provide for others in the audience that are interested in the talent acquisition space? Something you've learned, something you say to your teams, or just advice that resonates with you for others that are in the TA space?
I would give this advice, it would really be for anyone, really, but for folks in TA, I think you've got to figure out what drives you, what keeps you engaged, what is your purpose. It's easy, I think, sometimes, especially when you are part of teams that do thousands of hiring, your volume is very high. Sometimes it's easy to lose sight of that. For me, I did have a period, quite honestly, where I lost sight of my purpose. And it was for a while there, it was about progression and what do I have to do to continue to, you know, progress in my career. And I wasn't feeling a tremendous amount of satisfaction and reward for that. And I had to go back to why I got into recruiting in the first place. And this probably I should have shared at the top of the call. When I got out of the military, I had been battling a peptic ulcer for 2 or 3 years during my time in, and I refused to get it looked at. And when I got out, I finally went to the doctor and I was prescribed a specific prescription medicine that was made by AstraZeneca. And when I found out who made it, and after I recovered in a very short time, it was probably 10 days and I was fine after 3 years of being in agony, I found out who made this product. And I said, I don't know who these guys are. I literally said, I don't know who these guys are, but I want to work for them one day. And that really led to not only the purpose that drove me to get into the pharma industry, but also led me to the purpose of getting into recruiting, and that is to change people's lives. So my advice would be to anyone in TA, and it's easy now to be at a bit of a crossroads given how difficult the market is for TA professionals now. If you're not there, get back to your purpose, get back to your reason, and drive from there, and you can't go wrong. It definitely has, you know, served me and continues to serve me in my current role. And I'm confident will continue to serve me beyond.
That's great. Mark, thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for your transparency and sharing. I think it will add a lot of value to the audience. And as always, I really appreciate you.
Thanks, Ryan. Great to be here and good to see you again.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. If something we said today resonated with you, please subscribe, rate, and download our podcast and share the episode with your network. Ready to transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology just like our other clients at 3M, Comcast, Stryker, and Walgreens? Then reach out at sagemarkhr.com for a free consultation.